Blog Talk
good
Radio.
Morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power, Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Oh, we are so excited again today that we are here to declare the truth of God's word. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are going to go into worship now, and then we are going to come back and release a word that we believe is from the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh,
Thank you. You're sleeping. make me more like me. Change me, oh God. Watch me through.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Or have you given it over to him? Has he changed anybody? If you get on in his way, he can. He can. Change your heart, he can. I don't want to be the same no more.
I got
But I can't help but to give God glory today.
And I see
when I think about all I've been through, and I still came out on the winning side. I don't know about you, but I know that he favored me because my enemies, they did try. Sing it, y'all. But they couldn't triumph over me. Because great is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That's what they did. That's what they did. They told a whole lot of lies. But God favored me. My character, my integrity,
my faith in God. He said,
but it would not fall.
Would not sin.
I got it. God favor me. God favor me. God favor you. God favor us. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, for favoring us, keeping us in the land of the living. Oh, Father, we just praise you. We glorify your name. We honor you, Jesus, because you are worthy to be honored. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for loving us in spite of how we are. Lord, you bless us with the gift of understanding. Oh, what a merciful God you are. Oh, Father, we ask you to stretch out your hand over us now and let the anointing that destroyed the yoke rest upon us this morning. We bless your name. We praise your name. We glorify your name. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is worthy to be praised, the healer of Israel, the healer of Jerusalem. We praise your name. We exalt you, Jesus. Father, we ask that you would touch my town today and allow us to hear and speak today the word that we hear. Touch our town that we might speak what thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Lord God, we thank you. Today we are talking about the gathering of the saints. And we are going to go into the book, back into that book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Only do the first 7 or 8 verses, and then we're going to go somewhere else as the Lord leads us. We are not going to be long today. You know, we're just going to put this word, want to get this word on the computer today. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 1-7, we believe. Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's get there. Verse 1-8. Let's go into the Bible and see what the Lord is saying here. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God. There is no one like you. No one like you. And we honor you, Jesus, for all that you have done, all that you are doing for us, in spite of all. Reluctant to glorify you from time to time. We praise you this morning. Jesus, we ask you to forgive us our sins, O God. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verses 1-8. Hallelujah, Jesus. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord where the word of God is being taught. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 23. And he talks about the shepherds here. Here he says, an oracle of restoration, looking ahead to the future reign of the Messiah, who will live ideas of the Davidic kingship. This oracle concludes the series of prophecies against the house of David with a hopeful outlook. While the last few kings have deserved the judgment they receive, Yahweh will raise up a righteous ruler, talking about Jesus, his son, and bring Judah back from exile. Now here the book begins with a woe. Indictment. It's a war to the evil shepherds. It's a war to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the flock of my pasture, declares God, Yahweh. Therefore, thus says God, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. You yourselves have scattered my flock and you have driven them away. And you do not attend to them. Look, I will punish you for the evil of your deeds, declares Yahweh. Then I myself will gather together the remnant of my flock from all the land where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their grazing place, and they will be fruitful, and they will become numerous, and I will raise up over them shepherds, and they will shepherd them, and they will no longer fear, and they will not be dismayed, and they will not be missing, declares Yahweh God. God says that he will raise up the people. He will gather them. He said that the ones who were supposed to be shepherds, true shepherds, and watching over the flock for him, did not do their job. They did not attend to the flock. They did not take care of the sheep. They were more interested in their own needs and what they could get from the sheep. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God said now he's going to gather the sheep. We're talking about the gathering of the saints. We are supposed to be saints because we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been sanctified. We have been called out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said to make the statement, look, days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. Jesus is going to come out the lineage of David. He is the righteous branch. He's the one without spots. He's the one without blemish. Jesus is. He's the one without sin. But Yahweh God, the Father, he is going to raise up his son, Jesus Christ, to rule and reign in this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here we see in this text, he said, look, that means pay attention. Be observant. Days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king, and he will achieve success. And he will do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell in safety. And this is his name by which he will be called. Yahweh is our righteousness. Therefore, look, days are coming, declares Yahweh, our God, when they will no longer say, as Yahweh lives, who led up the Israelites from the land of Egypt, but as Yahweh lives, who led up and who brought the offspring of the house of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them, then they will live in their land. This is the word of the Lord. God is a deliverer. He says, I myself will gather together the remnant of my flock. This is what God says. God is going to do this. He said, to the shepherds who destroy and scatter, a metaphor for the rulers of Judah, their poor leadership resulted in judgment and scattering of the people. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 11. Yeah, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. He says, come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 11 and 12. You can read Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 35. These shepherds or pastors are only concerned about their own bellies, their own pocketbooks. They're not concerned about the sheep. Jesus is speaking very clearly to us, speaking very clearly to us. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to give the sheep what he says. We're supposed to give the sheep what God says. Now, in Ezekiel 34 and 11, 34 and 2 and 34 and 11, he says, I myself will gather together the remnant of my flock. The bad shepherds scattered the flock, but Yahweh God will gather them again. Ezekiel 34. Let's go to Ezekiel 34 and 2. And then also in that book, we'll put 34 and 11. God is speaking to us. I tell you this morning that God, he will gather the gathering of the saints. He will gather his people together. 34 and 2 says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy against them. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? He said, you eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Hear what God is saying. The shepherds, the pastors, are taking care of themselves. They're taking care of themselves. 34 and 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search for my sheep and seek them out. God say this. God say this. Ezekiel 34 and 11. God is speaking to us. Now, I will raise up for David a righteous branch. The Hebrew word used here is tzimak, often translated branch. Is a metaphor referring to the Messiah, referring to Jesus, Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2. Justice and righteousness, the Messiah, will fulfill the Isaiah that Zedekiah could not give up. Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 3. Yahweh is all righteousness. That's the name of the Savior, the only true and living God. Yahweh is our righteousness. A play on Zedekiah's name, which means Yahweh is my righteousness. The Messiah fulfills the expectation for the Davidic king. They're talking about the gathering of the saints. Verse 7 says, from the land of Egypt, chapter 16, verse 14. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jeremiah follows the collection because against the royal house with a collection of oracles, against false prophets, and overall sentiment of similar to. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Here let's just pull this up on Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's just work this a little bit here, and then we go to Matthew chapter 19 to hear Jesus speaking to us. Okay, he gathering the saints. Here in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1-8, he says, the ruthless, Jeremiah condemned Judah's godless shepherds who destroyed and scattered the flocks. The responsibility, God appoints faithful leaders to govern his people in righteousness. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. This is a reference to the coming Messiah, what he is called. King David's righteous branch. The Lord is our righteousness. What he does, he rules over the world. The people are safe. Rather, Israel, they live again in their own land. See, when God the deliverance of the Messiah. Allow us as his people, allow us as his people to live in safety, to live in peace. Matthew chapter 19. Let's start at verse 16. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. And Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Four commandments right there. And then the fifth, honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. Six commandments Jesus has declared to this man. Almost all of them. But these are six most important. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. I have obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. You see, a lot of times what will hinder us from hearing and receiving what God has for us is the worldly possessions. Worldly possessions will hinder us from following Christ. We have all the necessities that the world requires, but we are lacking the most important thing, and that is righteousness, holiness, being in right standing with God. We think that if we get the Rolex watches and we get the Cessna's debt and we get the yachts and we get the houses, the homes in the gated communities, you know, we have our own guards and own security and all this stuff, plenty of money in the bank, we think that we have it made. But we are far from having it made. Not knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, as your commander in chief, not the president. For everything, Jesus is commander in chief. We're talking this morning about the gathering of the saints. And we start in Jeremiah chapter 23, the first 8 verses, speaking about the shepherds that took advantage of the sheep and only fed their bellies, took care of their needs while the sheep suffered. So we come over here to Matthew chapter. We also hit some scripture in Ezekiel and Isaiah. We hit a couple of scriptures in Ezekiel and Isaiah. And we are moving through here, giving you a little something for today. We have another prophet is going to come in, and our apostle going to come in, tomorrow and bring a word from Georgia. He's going to come in Alabama somewhere over there. She's going to come and bring a word for us tomorrow, you know, so that I can rest my vocal cords for a minute and come back again. Here, glory to God. This man, this young man, is rich. He has everything. You ever noticed that most millionaires and billionaires don't want to hear anything about God? Because they believe that they have it made. They have everything. And some of them say, if I got to go to hell, that's all right. They think that hell is like a discotheque, that you're going to go down there and they're playing the music and you can hear the dance, and you have Kentucky Fried Chicken, and you have Popeye Fried Chicken. You can go to all you can eat. You have a cookout, a fish cookout. You know, they're thinking something like that. No, It's a place of torment. But the boldness and the rejection of their lives that they have towards Christ will cause them to talk so negative about him, not knowing who he is. Because Satan had blinded them, so they can't receive the light of the glorious gospel. You see, so they talk so ignorant. You see, these people have gone to high school and gone to colleges and universities and have degrees. But it seems like the wiser they get, the foolisher they become. They don't realize how important God is to eternal life. They think that they only have this life, that when they finish this life here, that it's over. And they will tell you, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in that. They tell all of this. But the day is coming. The day is coming that where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of Lord God. But you know what's going to happen? Let me tell you this. A lot of people going to want to turn, but it's going to be too late. It's going to be all over, because once you go in that grave and you come before the judgment seat, there's no forgiveness for you. This time here, this lifespan that you have, if you live to be 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, that is your time. That is your time to use to repent. Not when you get in that grave. When you get in that grave, it's over. Hear this young man talking to Jesus. And the Bible says, verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is easy. It's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Why is God saying this? He's saying this because that he realized, he knows that the rich people put their trust and all their expectations in their possessions and all that they have. They talk negative about God. You even will hear some of them say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But when you look at their lifestyle is that they're worshiping the God of this world. They're not worshiping the God of eternity. They're worshiping Satan. All of their deeds are satanic. That's how they get their riches, by selling their soul to Satan. They're in the Illuminati. They're in the Masons. They're in all of these different ministries that serve the devil. So how can they serve him too? The Bible says you cannot serve God alone. If your main objective or on sight is to get rich, you're going to do everything that you need to do to get rich. You're not concerned with holiness. Jesus said this. He said the disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved, they asked. Jesus looked at them intensely and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Jesus said, look, it is hard, humanly speaking, for anybody to get to heaven. But if you are allowing God to lead you and guide you, you'll make it in. This is the reason why he gave us the Holy Spirit. I say this all the time. It's very hard to live holy. Don't let nobody fool you. It's very hard to live holy, to follow God's leading. But it's attainable with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, you are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. He said, you overcome. You overcome why? Because you have the power that helps you to overcome that. You know, there's many times that I want to say stuff and I want to do stuff. I know I'm not the only one like that. But the power that's inside of me, that reservoir of authority, hallelujah, that's inside of us, it tells us, no, you can't do that. And son, girl, shit, daughter, you can't do that anymore. Because why? You belongs to me. I'm leading, I'm guiding. And you catch yourself, you say, oh, I can't do that. I sure enough can't do that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is on the inside. He's working. If he wasn't on the inside, how fast would we flip the script? We're going into it, quick into it. And then we'll be sorry because then we'll be convicted. But here, Jesus says, but with God, everything is possible. Then Peter said to him, verse 27, we have given up everything to follow you. What will we get? Peter says, now we give up everything. In that, people sometimes, you know that we, people, not us, but a lot of people say, well, if I'm going to stop whoring, if I'm going to stop going to the club, I'm going to stop smoking marijuana, I'm going to stop smoking cocaine, I'm going to stop using methamphetamine and heroin and all this kind of stuff and stop womanizing. What am I going to gain? This is what the disciples are asking. I give up fishing. I give up making tents and shoes and all this stuff to follow you. What am I going to gain? You see, when you look at it, sometimes we say, well, I got to give this, I got to give that. And I know, how can I give this? And I know I need this money. No, but when you give it, man, I just give away some money here and there. And before I got home, good. I needed the money too. But before I got home, good. Somebody was already calling me about a little job to go make some money. It may not be a lot of money to you, but it was good to me to see how fast God honors what we do. When we give to him, God never going to let you go. Man, I'm giving to the poor. I'm giving to God never going to let you brag on his stuff. When you give to the poor, the Bible says you are lending to the Lord, and he said he will repay. God is never going to let you hold him hostage for something that you do for the poor, because he said the poor belongs to him. And when you give to the poor, God going to bless you. Believe what I'm telling you. I say it all the time. I don't do it because I know he's going to bless me. I do it because I want to do it. I want to bless somebody that is less fortunate than me, somebody that don't have food on the table. Sometimes I'm just a day away. And I said, I'll go on Western Union and set up the money and say, oh, send me a text message, apostle, or they call me dad, you know, man, you let you know what we needed. And it was right on time. They can go to the grocery store. They can go down to the food market. They can pay their rent. Hallelujah. And it's not a lot of money to us, but it's a lot to them. You know, used to $500, I can go to the mall and spot, I can buy a suit and boom, $500 gone. I can buy two pair of shoes. Some people say, well, $500 can't buy a pair of shoes for me because I like them shoes are $2,200 and $2,300. I said, no, I buy about 10 pair of shoes for that kind of money. Maybe more than that.
Yes, sir. You know,
hallelujah. Glory to God. I just got two pair of shoes in the mail. I sent them to, because I ordered them shoes for somebody. And, you know, they got the size, the European size is different. And I put in the right size for American size, which is a size 12 is a European 46. A size 11, a size 11 is European 45. Well, they sent me the wrong size. But they fit me. They don't fit the man that I wanted to get to. So then I got to go back and order a bigger, another size, raise the size on and see if I get the right size. But this will do. Glory to God. But here in this stuff right here, in this thing right here, glory to God. Jesus is speaking. Peter asked a question. Peter always going to ask what Peter wants to know. And this is how Peter became the leader. If you want to get information, you've got to ask. You can't sit down and hear stuff and say, well, that sounds good, but I don't really understand. Where did that in the Bible? You don't know. Well, I was in college when I was going to school. And they asked, I was going to ministry school, and they said, the teacher said, well, if anybody don't know something, they want to know, just ask. That was the wrong thing they said. I mean, every time I put my hand, I said, okay, what you want again, Brother Dave? I said, because I heard you said this, but I don't understand what it means. Can you explain that to me? I got the highest marks in the class because I was asking questions. I didn't know. I mean, it sounded for, well, why somebody in the crowd would say, why every time, you know, whispering to you, why every time he always asking questions? And guess what? They wanted to know the same answer. They wanted the answer, but they couldn't ask. I was asking for most of them. This Peter says, Peter said to Jesus, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? What will we give? Given all this? Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have given, who have been foreigners, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who had given up house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or property for my sake, will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. See, a lot of us today that we have to, we're doing so much and doing so much for the Lord. And a lot of people looking at us and they look at us with cross eyes like they don't have much, they don't have this. They got a little car, they got a little truck, a little motorcycle, a little bicycle, a little house over there. But they don't have a lot. Look at us. We got house in the Caribbean. We got house in Africa. We got house in Europe. We got house in Hawaii. You know, and they be boasting because they have all of that stuff. But Jesus says, he makes it so clear in this chapter 19 of Matthew. He is saying that they're getting their reward now. You're not enjoying, you remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man had all his stuff. All his stuff. And he was boastful about what he had. He ate good. He wear the best clothes. He had the best shoes. He had all the bling, the gold, not the bling. He had real gold and diamonds. Lazarus was eating off the crumbs that fall off the floor. The dogs was licking his sores. It's a poor man. But when the rich man died, he went to hell. When Lazarus died, the poor man, he was in a sense in Abraham's bosom. That's just a metaphor. But he was caught up into that holy place. You see, we can't focus on this stuff. We can't let our minds be caught up with materialistic things. We'll miss the big picture. Everything here is only a loan. No one can carry his tractor trailer with him from here. Nobody can carry the BMW from here with him. Nobody can carry the Mercedes Benz or the Cadillac or so on, or electric car, gas car, or steam car, nothing with them from here. Naked, you came into this world naked, you sure. Even the suit that you put you on, the dress they put you on, the wig they put on your head, it's not going with you. It's going to decay in the ground. The ants and the bugs are going to eat all that stuff up. You're going back naked just as you come. That body came out the earth. It's going back to the earth. The only thing that's going to survive one place in one dimension or another is the soul, the spirit man, that God blew into Adam's lungs as he did it in his nostrils, he became a living soul. That's got to go someplace, either in eternity with God or eternity without God. So we have to make a decision. We have to make a choice. Peter begins to say, Jesus talking to him, and he tells us clearly we have to have a mindset of where we want to be. We have to live to live again. I always tell people, they say, well, how's it? I say, I'm living to live again. People run around because they're preachers and teachers and all this stuff. Oh, I'm going to heaven. I'm at the church on Sunday morning. I'm at church Wednesday night. I'm at church Saturday morning. I'm at the church whenever the pastor told me I'm there. But are you living to live again? Yes, you're serving the man of God or the woman of God 100%. But are you living for the true sovereign God? We serve a man because we want accolades. I was going to get up on the microphone and say, no, every time I open the church door, brother so-and-so is at the church, sister so-and-so is always here making sure that the church is clean, the church building is clean, and they're making sure the lawn is cut and the grass is cut and the trash is taken. All that stuff is good. Oh, that's good ministry. But beyond that, are you living the life that glorified God? See, because I'm talking about the gathering of the saints. And the saints mean the ones that are sanctified, the ones that are set apart, the ones that have been called out. He's coming for them. Hallelujah. He's coming for his children, the one who has sacrificed, for the one who sacrificed for them. They're living a life to please him. He gave the ultimate sacrifice, but now we have to sacrifice. There's some things we got to stop now. Now, when I sacrifice, I love to smoke cocaine. Oh, let me just tell you that. Anybody can tell a lie that used to smoke cocaine. Can tell that. Oh, I love to smoke. I just can't smoke it anymore. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the effect that it gives me. Make me crazy. Hallelujah. Make me do things that I thought I couldn't do. But I can't do it anymore. Hallelujah. So I had to sacrifice that. I love going out with different women. Hallelujah. Get what you got. You can get in. You can trickle your nose and put your finger. But that's the truth. That's who I was. But I can't do that anymore because I realized that if, when I was doing that, I was pleasing my flesh. But now I have to do the things that please my, the operate in the spirit realm that please the spiritual savior that I serve. I have to do these things. So Peter asks this question. Bothers me that all these other disciples are there because the Bible says he's talking to disciples. After this young man got went away sad. And Jesus talking. And he said, look, it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because they put their focus and their confidence in all of the stuff that they got. They walk around and go to the grocery store and look on other people that are begging because they can afford to go in there and have prime rib and they can have all the best seafood. They can have go to the mall and buy the best soups and the best dress, wear the most expensive wigs when they don't need it. They don't want to walk natural anymore, all these different kind of wigs. Black women now got pink wigs, got red wigs, purple wigs, got blonde wigs, all kind of wigs. Man, your hair is beautiful. Beautiful. I was just talking to a lady from Africa, and she had to wear all these wigs. So I started telling her, look, the people are supporting you and your children, and you're spending money wearing wigs? You ought to spend that money on food for your kids. You got beautiful hair. And when I said next time she had these little rolls, showing her naturally, I said, you're beautiful. Naturally beautiful. You're created in the image of God. Why are you going to spend money buying all these wigs when your kids are starving? You don't have nobody supporting your kids. You don't have no job. You're making $7 a day. Listen to Peter, man. Let's go to, let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Jesus, I'm talking about the gathering of the saints. And we started Jeremiah chapter 23. And the first 8 verses we read. How the pastors feed themselves off the people of God, off the children of God. And God brought in new shepherd. The new shepherd is Jesus. He brought in the new shepherd who judged the people right in righteousness to care the people. Matthew chapter, Matthew chapter 11. Glory to God. The gathering of the saints. Jesus is doing the gathering. Hallelujah. He's calling us. He's calling us to him. Let's go. Verse 35. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. You know, a lot of folks sometimes, and you know, as preachers, a few preachers on the line, you go there and a lot of people look at you. You have the prophetic anointing. You have the apostolic anointing. You have the evangelistic anointing on you. You have the pastoral anointing on you. You have the teaching anointing on you. And people look at you like you ain't nobody. Because they have a PhD. And some of them now today, they think the PhD gonna put them in heaven. You can't even call them by their birth name. You can't call them. If you don't call them Dr. Apostle Bishop, they say, and then the last name, They don't want to. They look at you like you a beetle, a little bug on the road. That's not gonna get you into heaven. What's gonna get you into heaven is following the inscriptions or the prescription that God gave us, the blueprint, the basic instruction before leaving earth, living it out. This is what's gonna help us in. That's why I say I'm living to live again. I'm not perfect, but I'm living to live again. And I'll start my day in the morning with repentance. I know, forgive me. My thoughts. I saw something on the computer that moved my spirit into another way. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Because the flesh wanted to go over there and focus on that. Lord, forgive me. I start my day with forgiveness. He said, look, God hide these things. You see them. You hear them. You know they come from God because God is speaking to you by your spirit. But they got all the money. They have all the stuff. They got their own yacht, $2 million yacht. Fella here played quarterback used to play for the Patriots. He's playing out for Miami. Tom Brady. He got a house down here. I don't know if he sold the house yet. It's not even a single family home. It's a condominium. And it was like $7 million or something like that. He had to drop that. He had it on the market for the longest time. He had to drop the price a few million dollars. I don't even know if it's still sold yet. But it's got computerized. Listen to me, people. It's got computerized toilets. You hear what I'm telling you? Just like you have a laptop, the toilet is computerized. You got to put in codes and stuff and press the toilet to flush. It got faucets in the house that, you know, I got one right here, one of the faucets right here, but, you know, I just got that one here. But the one that he got is better than that. You just touch the faucet, and the faucet come on. You touch it, and they go off. Everything is computerized. He bought a yacht. I think the yacht was like $13 million. I mean, it has everything in it. It's like a house. That's not going to get you to heaven. But he's not spending time with Jesus. See, these folk are spending time with the stuff that they got. The stuff that they inherit here in this earth realm. And they're putting their hearts and soul in these things. When they are laying on the hospital bed, what you think is going through their mind? They're focusing, who's going to get all my stuff? What is my son going to do? What my daughter going to do? What my wife going to do? What my brother sister going to do? Because they got a word from the doctor that they might not make it out. Hallelujah. And the doctor told me that's a possibility I might go to Africa. I said, it's okay. Because my Bible told me to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Jesus said here, he said that to the Father. He said, he thank you. I thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever for revealing them to the childlike, those that have a humble spirit, childlike spirit, a spirit of obedience, a spirit to receive. They don't believe that they know it all, got it all. I learn from everybody. Everybody. I've listened to people. The ones that I know that is just using, I don't mess with them. I don't even turn them on my TV, my computer. But I listen to the humble ones. Was listening to a preacher yesterday from Merlin, PG County. And he was talking about abortions. And it just blessed my heart. And one of the things that this man says, he went to Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus. And he said that the people are saying, the women are saying in Leviticus chapter 17 and 11, and he talked about the life is in the blood. God says the life is in the blood. The moment that the heart begins to pump, there's life. It's life. And he said, yes, the women have the right for their own body. Man doesn't, but God has the right. Over every woman's body, every person's body, he has the right. So they are screaming and shouting and want to kill and murder people because they say they're taking away their right to have an abortion. But what did God say? Oh, my God, he was blessing me last night. I was listening to him. What did God say? He said to Jeremiah before, I formed you in your mother's womb. I know who you were. Before you were formulated in the womb, God knew you. You were the person to him. But these folk are study murdering these babies in the womb, and they don't want to burn down buildings, and they want to kill people and shoot people. If somebody shoots somebody, they say, take away the guns. But they're going into abortion clinic every day, killing babies. Killing babies, and the doctor's pulling that baby out. Sometimes head and foot and everything, and eyes and everything open, pulling that baby out. And they're walking around without a charge. Without a charge, that's killing, that's murder. Without a charge. And they said, they ain't taking away our rights. Who give you the right to kill? The Bible said, thou shalt not kill. You wonder why we got so much stuff in here. We don't even teach the kids how to honor their fathers and mothers. They cuss their mother out, cuss their father out. Some of them not so legal, but if I say something the way I was a grown man, my mama sure, if I just talk under the breath, you know how we talk under the breath, you know, you just mumble and call it mumbling. Excuse me, if I just mumble under my breath, my mama tore a shoe from the living room. And I might not, I'll tell you, they were GPS before they had GPS. That shoe could go through the house and find me in the kitchen or wherever I was in the house. My mama shoot that shoe through the house and it would find me because I had murmur. I didn't even say a word. I just mumbled underneath my voice. He said, what are you saying back there? Hey! And that shoe come through and line up next to my head. You had to respect your mother and father back then. Today the kids don't respect nobody. They just talk back to you like you're nobody. You got to pay for the room and the board. They don't pay no rent. They don't buy no food. They don't pay the light bill. They don't pay no water bill. They don't do nothing. And they disrespect you in a minute. And you wonder why they're going out and taking up a gun and shooting people down. The people that have guns that really has a responsibility. The own guns, they're not going out shooting people. It's them crazy ones that for some reason they come up and they got all these satanic tattoos all over them because they have no value for life. They have not been trained. They have not been taught to love and care for people. And the first thing they do is take life. And then they want to take away the guns from the people that are responsible, have a gun in their house to protect their family. If somebody come in the house to hurt their family, they want to take away the guns from them. They'll never have all the guns. They can take away the guns from the people they want to stop people from getting guns. But, you know, the people that already got them guns is the ones that taking it. All them wicked people that got the guns, they're the unlicensed guns. They don't have a permit for them. Those are the ones that commit the crimes. Hear what Jesus says in this word. I'm talking about the gathering of the saints. And after Jesus released that word, because he was speaking in parables, and that the people could understand. Only those that were close to him, then he will reveal the truth and break down the word to them, the disciples. But here he says, at that time, Jesus is talking to the Father. At that time is a special time. And he said, oh, Father, Lord God of heaven, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father. It pleased you to do it this way. God is doing what he do, only he can do, and he's doing it his way, the way he wants it done. That's why we have to spend time in his counsel to understand, to hear from him what God is saying to us. So we can do what God wants done, not what we want to do, because it makes us feel good. So, oh, Pastor, thank you for that word. No, it's all right to let somebody know you enjoy the word. But don't put nobody on. You don't have to put me on pedestal because you know what? I'm already on a pedestal. Lord, I tell you the truth. I'm already on. Let me tell you what pedestal I'm on. I'm on the pedestal of life. Because God has woken me up this morning. He sent the Spirit, Holy Spirit up, and he tapped me and said, get up. It's time to go to work. It's time for you to teach the word of God. He gave me life this morning. I don't need no more. Nobody else don't have to pat me on my back. I preach a word. I want to say somebody going to pat. No. I don't need no patty. You don't need no patty. You got life. That's what you praise God for. Somebody didn't make it this morning. Just a minute ago, somebody got killed. But you're still here. He says, Jesus began. He says, after talking to the Father, his Father, my Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. And no one truly knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Some people, folks, sometimes say to us, when we say God is speaking to us, they say, well, God don't speak to nobody. I had a pastor who told me one time, I was at the church, he said, God don't talk to nobody. God ought to talk 2,000 years ago. So I said, why did he say my sheep hear my voice then? Why did he say that? He couldn't respond. And why did he say the words that he said, the healing for 2,000 years ago? It don't flow through everybody. The healing don't flow through everybody. It flows through the ones who are in right standing with him. He used them for that moment. He said, the works I did you should do, and even greater works. But we have to get and become a, oh my God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. We have to become a vessel that is meet for the master's use. Then this anointing going to flow through us, and people are going to get healed for his glory, not for us. We are praying, and we want to go down to the water to talk to the Illuminati spirit and the Kundalini spirit, and we want that because we say as we get the satanic spirit, we can work miracles. But the satanic miracles don't last. Yes, he can do some miracles, but they don't last. But when God do a miracle through you, it's last because he's going to get glory. Hallelujah. That's why we are striving for this perfection. We're not perfect, but we strive for every day he's perfecting us. Every day that we read the word, every way we study the word, every day that we live the word, he makes us a little bit more perfect. We're only going to be perfect when we meet him. He will be fully perfected when we meet him in the air. Listen to what he says. Jesus says, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Hallelujah. Take on his characteristics. Take on everything about God. He said, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, you see. There's no rest that you get in Jesus. There's no rest until you allow him in your heart. There's no rest. There's no peace. People are smoking cocaine. Going 100 miles an hour, shooting heroin because they figure if I just get a fix, I'll be all right. But they're just all right for a moment. They smoke reefer, they drink alcohol, they have sex. They only have that little joy or release for just a short moment. But when you allow God, the Savior, the Sovereign God, to enter into your heart, man, you can walk. You can walk. You can drive down the highway. You can go to the mall and just have a little bit of money in your pocket. And just feel like a billionaire. He'll let you find the bargain piece, the piece that you wanted at the right price. You have the right money for it. You have the peace. This is what I'm talking about. When you allow him to come, he said, come on to me. You carrying weight that you're not fit to carry. He said, bring him to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. People are running around, don't have no rest, don't have no peace. Because why?
They have rejected Christ, the Savior of the world. They have rejected him. And then you have the folk that should even introduce people to Christ. They're not introduced. They're introducing them to prosperity. And they say, oh, yeah, you can get it. You can have it. He says, my yoke is easy and my bear, my yoke is easy to bear and my burden I give you is light. See, when you take on this characteristic of Christ Jesus, man is light. Listen, let's go to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. I'll read that out of the King James. Man, it's so powerful. You know, sometimes we're looking for so much. It's right before us. It's right before us. It's right before us. God, see, you got to do this. I'm gathering the saints. I'm gathering the ones. I'm gathering the ones who have given their life to me. I'm gathering the one who the ones who have made a conscious decision to live for me. In spite of what's going on in this world right now, they have made a conscious decision to live for me. That's what he's gathering. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. He says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prayer, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion who shall rouse. Listen, we're talking about the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is going to gather the people. Hallelujah. He is the scepter. The scepter is his mighty armor in his hand. His protector that he's going to protect his children with. We have to stand strong, not moving. Go to Psalm 39. He is gathering us. He's preparing us for his return. We have to walk this thing out, live this thing out, be this thing. 39 and 6. Surely every man walketh in a vain shoe. Surely they are discredited in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Do you hear that? And now, Lord, what will I fall? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy yoke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thy hand. When thou with rebukes the correct man from iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. Oh, spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Listen to what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is releasing a prayer to the Father. He releasing a prayer of repentance. And he asked him to spare him while he has life. Give him an opportunity to do right. We're willing. We want to continue doing, and it says we need to change. Hallelujah. He says, surely man walketh in his vanity, worthlessness, uselessness. That's what vanity is. We think it's worth living for, dying for, but it's worthless. Vanity just goes away. It's just like you buy a car. You're so excited the first day the car had the spray that stuff in the car, the leather spray inside to make the car smell good. And you're so excited, man, the car smells real good. Ah, just love the smell of my car. A couple of days, the smell is gone. The shine is gone from the car. But you know what never leaves us? The spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of us never leaves us. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Let me give you some scriptures here. Tomorrow, let a preacher come in. I'll give you some today. And tomorrow's Thursday. Then I believe the prophet is here coming on Friday. She'll coming on Friday if the Lord say the same. I know. Let's go to Ezekiel. Phone is disturbing me right now. Ezekiel, come on here, Ezekiel. 36. Let's put a couple of verses here and see what's happening. Hallelujah, Jesus. Excuse me. Ezekiel 36 and verse 24. Hallelujah, Jesus. For I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you home again to your land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, verse 25, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you, so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. And you will live in Israel and the land I gave your ancestors long ago. You will be my people and I will be your God. I will cleanse you of your filthy behaviors and I will give you good crops of grain. And I will send no more famines on the land. I will give you great harvest from your fruit trees and fields. And never again will the surrounding nations be able to scoff at your land for its famines. Then you will remember your past sins. Then you will remember your past sins and despise yourselves for all the detestable things you did. See, the Lord wants to bring us out of the lifestyle that we were living. And he wants to bring us to the goodness, the greatness, the prosperity that he has prepared for us, the fruitfulness that he has prepared for us. But he wants us to forget our past. He wants us to walk in the newness of life. This is what God wants us to do. Here in Isaiah 27. I don't know if I did that already, but let's go to Isaiah 27, 12 and 13. I don't know if I did that scripture. Anyway, we'll put it up there and see what the Lord says. If the Lord show me it again, he just means he want me to bring it out again. Isaiah 27, 12 and 13. Isaiah 27. He says, yet the time will come when the Lord will gather them together like hand-picked grain. One by one he will gather them from the Euphrates River in the east to the brook of Egypt in the west. In that day, the great trumpet will sound. Many who were dying in exile in Asia, Assyria, and Egypt will return to Jerusalem to worship the Lord on his holy mountain. Do you hear what God said? He's guiding us. This is why we have to be prepared. We got to prepare ourselves. We got to get our minds and our hearts right to be received by the Lord. See, this is the part that we have to play. Hallelujah. Let's go to Jesus. Let's go to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. I think we go there. And this is the last scripture we can get out of here. Ezekiel 34. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ezekiel 34, verse 2. There's so much to this thing here. And the gathering, there's so much on the gathering. As he gathering the saints, if you search your concordance, there's so much on it. How God is gathering us and he is working. He's working everything to draw us to him. Hallelujah. Remember, he said, no one can come to him except he draw them. He said to Ezekiel, this message came to me from the Lord. Verse 1. He says, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you shepherds who feed yourself instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed the sheep? He asked the question. You drink the milk, wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flock starve. This is God speaking true, the prophet. You have not taken care of the weak. Verse 4. You have not attended to the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and lost. Excuse me. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey. And they are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandon my flock and let them to be attacked by every wild animal. And though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and left the sheep to starve. Therefore, verse 9, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I now consider these shepherds my enemies. Do you hear what God is saying? These pastors. God said he now considered them his enemies. And I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. See, the sheep is very important to God. I was in a church here in Boston. I was assistant pastor. And there was a bishop. He's a very profound speaker. Very anointed man. And he told me one Sunday, he says, Apostle, man, you fool with the sheep too much. The sheep are foolish. You don't mess with the sheep. You're an apostle. So I looked at him. I said, but these are God's people. They're not foolish. They're God's people. He thought he was bigger than the people because he can preach well and can sing well. I mean, he sings like a real songster, a minstrel. And right then and there, I realized I was the wrong place. And being staying there, God allowed me to see what type of man he was. Well, I still speak to him, but I'm not part of his church. He says he will hold them responsible for what has happened to his flock. And he said, I will take away their right to feed the flock, and I will stop them from feeding themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey. Then he began to talk in this text about the good shepherds, but I'm not going there today. Father, we thank you and praise you for this word that you have given us, Lord. You have given us so much. So much you have given us. Give me a minute. Give me a minute there. Doorbell just rang. Give me a quick second. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Hey, two forces, let this come. We thank God, Father, we thank you for this time that you have allowed us to minister to your people. These are two forces. We thank you for this time that you allow us to minister to your people. And God, we pray today that as we close up this service today and pray, Lord, that you continue to minister to us. Lord, we are listening to you as you speak to us, oh God. God, we ask you now to touch the hearts and minds of all those that heard this word today and they that would hear it at a later date. Lord, speak to us. Speak to them. Allow them to know that all souls are yours. You said in Ezekiel 18:4, that all souls are yours, but the soul that sinneth shall die. It doesn't matter what we have accomplished in this world or what we will accomplish in this world. If we don't live the life that brings pleasure to you, that pleases you, we will die eternal death, the second death. Father, I ask you today that you reach out your hand over this United States of America. Lord, there's so much going on that does not bring glory to your name. In the political arena, in the church arena, Lord, it's all over. It's all over the place. And I know it does not please you, Lord. So I'm asking you, Father, only you can change the heart of a man to reach out and touch the president, touch the vice president, touch the Congress, touch the senators, the House of Representatives, touch the Supreme Court Justice Department, touch the fire department, the police department, Lord, touch the plumber, the electrician, touch the truck driver, oh God, the housewife, the house husband, Lord, touch the children, the teachers, Lord, touch the doctor and the nurses. Lord, we ask you today to reach out and touch today, God. If you don't touch, Lord, north, south, east, and west, Lord God, Lord, the people will remain the same, God. Oh, Lord, they need you even though they don't act like they need you, God. They need you. We all need you. We need a touch from heaven, oh God, that would move earth, oh God. Oh, Father, we pray for that one that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, today is your day to receive him. Today is your day to get to know him better. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just ask him. Open your mouth. Say, Lord Jesus, I recognize, I come to the realization that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I hear the word today. I'm so moved, oh God, knowing that you are gathering the saints, and I want to be part of the saints. I want to be part of that great gathering, oh God. Oh God, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Scripture says that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth. That means anybody, everybody. If you believe on him, you shall not be ashamed, shall not be put to shame. So today is your day to receive the gift of salvation. Hallelujah. We have taught this word. This thing is coming in. I'll tell you that the people, Jesus is preparing to receive his church. He's getting ready to receive his church to himself. But he's coming for a church without spot, without blemish, without wrinkles. He's coming for a church that is, oh God, that is a purified church, a church that is, oh God, that has been changed, a church that has been renewed. He's coming for a church that have a newness of the Spirit of God moving in it, oh God, over it and in it. So you want to have this thing. Say, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his ages and this world system. Jesus, I come to you today with a heart of repentance. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, according to your word, that said if I confess my sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteous, 1 John 1:9. Lord, I want you to come in and fill me, oh God, with the Holy Spirit, like 1 John 4:4. Lord, I just want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit that I can say, great is he that's in me than he that's in the world, because I've overcome all those demons in this world. Father, I come today with great expectations, Lord. I come, oh God, with an open heart, open mind, open soul, God. I surrender right now, Lord God, and I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, wash me in your blood. I believe in the shed blood of Calvary. I believe in that blood that never lost its first at stake, Lord. I pray today, Lord God, even as the blood is still running fresh and still powerful, still anointed, still healing, and still restoring, God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to wash me in your blood. Wash me, oh God. I repent now of my past sins and even the present sin, oh God, and future sins. I repent, Lord. I ask you, God, to lead me and guide me into the newness of this life that you have prepared for me and for us from Calvary. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, when you repent, the Holy Spirit, the Father God, comes down, and he touches you. He touches you with the hand of life, the hand of love, the hand of gathering. He draws you right into the realm of holiness, into that place, oh God, of protection, where he covers you with his arms. Know that no longer can the devil touch you. The devil can still put thoughts in your mind, but he can no longer touch you because you're under the protective blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So right there and then you say, Lord Jesus, I accept the gift of salvation, and today I am saved. Hallelujah. So you need to get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of Jesus Christ that we teach and preach about every day on this here church line. And then you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone, and say you received the gift of salvation, and that you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, because you want to be baptized in his name. A lot of people are baptized in a lot of different ways, but you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. So you know that you are saved. Don't matter what the devil calls. The devil going to try to tell you that you're not saved. He always does. He's a liar. And he always going to try to bring confusion, make people say, you say you're saved, but you're not saved. You know, you got to know that you know that you know. And if Jesus said that you are saved, you are saved. When you know that you have received him and you invite him in your heart, you're saved. Don't care what nobody say. And you want to call a pastor. You want to be baptized. Before you get baptized, you want to invite your friends, your family, your coworkers, everybody that you know you want to invite to the service. You want to invite them. Why you want to invite them? Because it's so important. It is so important that you invite them. You want witnesses to the greatest time of your life, the greatest day of your life. You want witnesses. And then you can find a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel. You go down that water called the liquid grave, and you come out. You're declaring in the water, as you go in that water, to people that are watching, the spectators, that you have given your life to Jesus. No longer is your life your own. That's what you're telling them. All right? And then when you come up out that water, you're all excited. You're being touched by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to get into a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel, okay? And start your life. Start doing something. Start doing something to glorify God. I thank God for those that came on today to hear the word. Minister Jones and Prophetess Kershey and Brother Deacon Fraser. We thank God for your faithfulness. Come on all the time. And now we want to open the line for anyone that want to respond. If you want to respond, you can come on in. If you don't want to respond, that's good too. We'll just pray and close out and talk to you all tomorrow. All right, so nobody have a word they want to share. We are going to pray and close out. Father, we thank you, we praise you. And we glorify your name. We honor you, Lord, for today. What a great day it is to be in the land of the living, Lord. Father, you have allowed us to enter in today. And we deem it an honor and a pleasure to come in and serve you every chance that we get. Lord, we thank you for healing Pastor James and Apostle Washington. We thank you for watching over Providence. Apostle Millie's sister, her brother-in-law, her daughter,
her son-in-law, and everything that concerned her. We thank you for strengthening her and giving her the strength she needs to continue to stand strong in spite of all that's going on right now. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to keep her safe and secure while she take care of her sister. And we'll give you praise, give you honor now, Lord. We got to go and clear this truck out and get some stuff off this truck. So, Father, we ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, to keep us and we'll be kept. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. We'll see you all soon. God bless you all. Tomorrow, Apostle Claire will come on and bring a word. Thank God for you all. Bye-bye.